We're going to have a bit of tour of various scriptures today, but I just want to begin with one. From 1 Peter chapter 2. I just want to speak it over you and speak it over us as we begin to look at God's word. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Can I declare that over you again? But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When I was at university, I had a nickname. I was called Worst Case Scenario Man. I always feared the worst. I always expected the worst. But I want to come today to say I am really excited about what God is doing. What God is doing in our land, what God is doing in our world. The more and more I pray and explore the things we're going to look at this morning, I am really excited that we're on the edge of something big. I could be wrong, but that's my sense in my spirit. And I have that sense that I want to be part of that. And this morning I want to offer it to you to say, do you want to be part of that? I want to be that one who puts up my sail in the wind of the Spirit and say, I want to be there. I want to go where it's taking me and taking the church. I want to go there. It may be a bit dangerous. The wind seems to be coming very strongly at the moment and people may get hurt and injured, but I want to go there. I want to experience what God is doing. And I think we have that choice. And what I lay out as we look at this theme of priesthood of all believers is actually something I think God is doing. And today you may be like I was a year ago when Lynn Green, who's the General Secretary of the Baptist Union, laid out something called Beacons of Hope and was really calling, part of that was calling the church to prayer. And I thought, oh, that's just another calling to prayer. I've been here, seen that, done that. Another church leader saying, let's pray. Yeah, that's good. But actually, as I've explored it more and thought about it more and see the way God has used that to bring revival in Reading, in other places, I think God's doing something. And then when I read about the 24/7 prayer movement and the way it's transforming different countries around the world with young people who are going to pray, I think God's doing something. But what they're doing, all they're doing is they're opening a room and they're praying. It's just another prayer meeting. Or is it? And then there's a great revival beginning in Wales under the Houses of Prayer. And I went to a conference on it with Gareth from Ridgeway earlier last month. And we went there, heard it all, and you just sit there and go, oh, it's just another small group prayer meeting. Or is it? Because God is doing something very significant and amazing through that. And as I've reflected and as I've been around all the life groups, I think part of what God is doing is calling us back. And that's why, though I think it's what God is doing now, I don't worry about bringing it to you because it's the oldest thing there is in the Bible. It's calling us back to being an understanding of what it is for us to be priests. I want to explore that a bit this morning. And it may be just a bit light-hearted. I had an older brother, and my mum always used to say to me, because I always did what my older brother told me to do, she used to say to me, if your older brother jumped off a cliff, would you do it? I wish I had this video to show her.
Ya verás. Uno. Go, go. Is okay the rhythm? Uno. 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 Profit.
We go.
It's amazing, doesn't it? And I think probably in what God is doing, it's a bit like that. God says he carries us on eagle's wings. He says in Exodus that he carried the people on eagle's wings that they may be a royal priesthood. And God, as it were, comes and wants to carry us on his eagle's wings until so that we can fly and enter in to be what it is to be a real priesthood. I'm not there yet. I think I'm on the edge watching, trying to take enough courage to say, let's do it. But I hope you will do it as well. And if you want to talk to someone else about this, talk about Gordon. I think I'm following Gordon in this. He's really got a passion and he's really exploring it as well. And we're beginning to sense what God is doing. And I hope you may be watching, but I hope you may be able to join us as we seek to see what God is doing. Because I think it's got to do with this concept of what it means to be priest. We read in this passage, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his glorious light. The first thing I want to say about we are called priests is that it is a calling. You are called to be a priest. And this morning, God calls us all to be priests. And this is what Martin Luther in the Great Reformation began to understand. That in his time, you need to understand a bit of history in the Catholic Church when Martin Luther was arrived, there were priests. And these priests were those who were to mediate between the people and God. And actually, they were there who would make sure that you could be represented to God and that God could be represented to you. They were the mediator. And so when you took communion, it was them giving you that mediation. When you confessed, it was them forgiving you your sins. They were mediating for you. And Martin Luther began to say, actually the word priest, we've misunderstood. It's not for a particular type of person. It is for everyone. And in fact, priest should be used in the same way that the word Christian is used. And he would say, from the cowgirl to the noble, they are all priests if they've come to faith in Jesus. Because being a priest is a calling, because a priest simply is someone who has access to God. And actually, what I want you to know is that when we put our faith in Jesus, he is the mediator and we have direct access to God. That is your calling. You are a priest. You are a priest when you go into your workplace. You are a priest when you live in your community. You are a priest where you go because you have access to the heavenly of heavenlies. Jesus has mediated so that you can go boldly into the presence of God, so that you can pray, so that you can intercede, so that you can worship. You don't need anybody or anything. Jesus has made it possible. He's called you out of darkness where you did not know the presence of God into light where the presence of God floods everything you are and you do. And you can have access. And that is our calling. And that's what we do when we pray. Do you know that? You come into access to God. That's what happens when we worship. We come into His presence with singing and thanksgiving and all the musical instruments. We come into the presence of God because we have access. We are called to be in His presence. We are called to be priests. Do you know that? Do you live in the presence of God? Do you access the presence of God? If we truly understood what it would be, priest, it would transform your prayer life. It would transform how you view coming to church Sunday by Sunday. It would not just be an extra add-on to fit into everything else. This is your calling. This is who you are. You are called to enter the presence of God. Have you ever done that? Do you know what that feels like? We have access, as we said at the beginning with the children, access to the Father through Jesus by the Spirit. Have you known the Spirit come on you and take you into the Holy of Holies, take you into the presence of God, that you see God as who He is? That's what it means. And that is why we're called priests. We're anointed. The priests are anointed with oil, the anointing on Aaron's beard. That's the anointing of the Spirit upon us to come into God. Did you know that's what you were called to? Did you know that's what being a Christian is? And that's why Martin Luther says, let's get rid of these priests. We don't need a mediator. All of us are priests. All of us come into the light, come into the presence of God. This morning, no, you're a priest. That's what you're called to. That's your calling. That's your vocation. How you earn your money and how you support your family and how you get your career, that's secondary. Your vocation is as a priest. To access God, to know the light of His presence, to enter into that presence, that's what you're called. Called to be priests. We're also, notice, a community of priests. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Because actually the church, a definition of church, is the community of priests. The church is where Jesus is present. Where is He present? Where the church is. This is not an individual, I can't even say that word this morning. It's not for our own selves. This is a community priesthood, where we access the presence of God together. This is not about being individuals with no accountability. This is about being part of a community that together come into the presence of God. We join a community. That's why as Baptists we have a covenant, because we're saying we are a community of priests, and together we'll enter into the presence of God. Together we will hear His voice. Together we will minister to one another. We mustn't use this concept to think that it's all right, I can do what I want and I can believe what I want and I can interpret Scripture as I want. We can't do that, because even as Calvin and Luther, as they would all say, if you do that, that will lead to subjectivism, that would lead to eccentricity, that would lead to, Calvin says, to anarchy and chaos. It's about being part of a community of priests, coming to God together. That's why when we come on a Sunday morning, it's so important we come together to the presence of God. That's what the church meeting is and should be about. It's about the community being priests, coming to God. To hear what He's saying, to intercede, to hear and to speak. To intercede for one another, to proclaim God's word to one another, to celebrate His presence, to enter His presence together with singing and worship. You can't enter His presence with all the musical instruments and all the singing and joy Scripture commands us to unless we do that together. And we are to do that together. It doesn't mean that there aren't gifts within the church. It doesn't mean that it's wrong to have a minister with a gift of teaching. It doesn't mean wrong to have gifts with those with prophetic, and we call the apostles and the teachers and the pastors. It's not wrong to have them, because we all access together, but God gives the community different gifts so that we can hear that together. So we can allow his gifts that he's given to the church to allow us together to enter his presence. The priests in the Old Testament, they didn't do everything. The priests just entered the presence of God. Who taught the word of God? The teachers of the law. They weren't priests, but they were teachers of the law. Who made judgments? Well, Moses did to start with. He wasn't a priest. So it doesn't mean there aren't different gifts and callings and leadership within the church, but it does mean that we come together. We all have access, and together as we come, we can all speak God's word to another. We can all pray for one another, and we can all worship and join together as a community. That's why what we do here on a Sunday morning is so important. That's why the passage we're meant to be looking at this morning, before I changed it, talks about Hebrews, talks about do not give up meeting together. Because it's misunderstanding of what we are doing as a community. This is our calling. This is, am I allowed to put it this way? This is your job. This is more important than your weekly, what you do to earn your money. This is your calling. This is your vocation to be the community of God. And we all take our part. Someone once said, church is a bit like a football match. It's 22, where a football match is described as 22 people needing a rest with thousands needing exercise doing nothing. Church is not a spectator sport. Our churches are full of spiritually flabby people because they're not being priests. They don't realize their calling. They're not doing their work. They're not joining and worshiping. When they come, they sit, and yeah, they like the music group, and they like the songs, or they don't, either way. They like what the speaker says, or they don't, either way. But actually, that's not what it's about. Not watching, it's joining in with the community, joining in with the musicians to lead us and worship into the presence of God, joining in to hearing and testing God's word. It's together. That's why we don't give up meeting together, because it's our calling. Need to move on quickly. There's so much I want to say on this, but we'll get there. The third thing is, not only is your calling to be priests, not only is it a kingdom of priests. What I want to focus on this morning is that we are called to be carriers of God's presence. That's what it ultimately means to be a priest. If you just, I'll read it to you if you don't want to turn to it. Deuteronomy 10:18 tells us the function of the priests in the Old Testament. Okay, which simply says, as they started, the first Levites. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister, and to pronounce blessings in his name, as they still do today. The purpose of the Levites were to carry the presence of God. That's why we're priests. That's what the church is about. It's to carry the presence of God. There's a lovely story, I know you probably know it, slightly worrying as well, but there's a story when David became king. When after Saul had chased him, David finally became king. And we read in Samuel and Chronicles that one of his first things he did as king was to do what? Anyone know? Giving you a clue from the passage we've just looked at.
To bring the ark
into Jerusalem. Because he knew that as the people of God, they had to carry the presence of God. And we read that they brought the ark back. And what we read is that David came, and as they brought the ark back, the presence of God, they did it with prayer and singing and worship. And David himself dressed up in the ephod of a priest. And they were bringing the presence of God. But there's a bit of a sad tinge to the story. Don't you know what happened? Yeah? Yeah, Uzziah, who was driving the ox and the cart, the ark was about to fall, and he touched it, and he died. And David was terrified. He said, if this is the presence of God, I don't want it. And so he found a rich landowner, someone called, his name is Obed-Edom, I think his name is. Can't read it in my notes. Obed-Edom. Found him. And he said, you look after the ark. We can't have it. It's too dangerous. So they left it. Obed-Edom had it in his house. Left it for 3 months. And then some of the king's advisors came to David and said, David, look, what's happening to Obed-Edom? Look, he's prospering. Look, their blessing of his work and his ministry. Look, wow. The ark is doing some amazing things in his life. It may be something we fear and have to be right, but we need that at the center of our community. It needs to come back to Jerusalem. And they said, yeah. And then we read that they then read the law. They came back to the Bible and they realized what they had done wrong and why Uzziah died. They realized what the problem was that who alone can carry the ark or touch the ark? Give you a guess. What's the theme this morning? The priests, the tribe of Levi. That was the problem. They weren't following God's command for carrying his presence. And so he got the Levites and they carried the ark as was commanded in Scripture. And they carried the presence of God and they carried it into Jerusalem. Because the presence of God is carried by priests. Guess what? You are a royal priesthood. You are priests. You can carry the presence of God. And it's a blessing. And that's what we are called to be. Ebod Odom, we read about later in that passage. He was obviously a rich landowner, but we read later that he then joined the singers in the tabernacle. He then became the money owner in the tabernacle. And I love the idea. It may not be the same person, but the thought is that he was so taken up by the ark and the presence of God that he gave up everything to come and serve the presence of God. Because that's the point. When you really know and experience the presence of God, you'll sacrifice everything. You'll give everything up for it. Because we're to carry the presence. The Levites, you know, they weren't paid. They weren't allowed an inheritance. Why? Because the inheritance, their inheritance was the presence of God. That was enough. That was all they needed. That satisfied them. And as we are called to carry the presence of God. We are priests. That's what it means. It means wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we do, we are to carry the light, the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit upon us. And we carry the presence of God. What does that mean? Why is that not our experience? Why are we not seeing the blessing of Obed-Edom? Why are we not seeing the transformation of carriers of the presence of God? And I think this is what I think God is doing. Because we need to learn and remember, how do we carry the presence of God? And And this is what I think God is doing and bringing back in our day, and why we're beginning to see signs of revival in different places, in different ways. Why we're seeing some of that song we sung about healings and people's lives being restored in different places. We're seeing that because people are beginning to understand, if we are priests, how are we to live that out? What does that mean? And as I look at all these movements, the prayer and worship movements that God seems to be working, it seems to be they're coming back to these principles of what it means to be priests. And what they are finding is that actually as we enter God's presence with worship, as we enter God's presence with prayer, then God is present. And as they do it, as we read, David did it with all his might. He did it with all his joy. He sung and he danced. He humbled himself before God. Here he was, the new king, who should have, in this procession, probably gone in all his robes and all his crowns. But what did he do? He wore the ephod of a priest. The crowds will say, look, the king, he's naked, he's just got an ephod on, where's all his clothes? But he knew he was coming as a carrier into the presence of God. He humbled himself. He could not wear his crown and his robes before the Almighty God. He could just come into his presence. We read that as they were carrying the ark, what did he do? He sang and he danced with all of his might. His wife, Michal, laughed at him and said, what on earth are you doing? And David said, that's nothing. In my worship and prayer of God, and I've always struggled with this verse, but he says, I will be even more undignified than that. Because there is a passion and a desire, as those, if we want to carry the presence of God, that we commit to worship and prayer. And we don't do it half-heartedly. We don't do it when it can fit in our schedule. We don't do it when we feel like it. We do it as our passion, as our calling, as our work, as our ministry. And as we do that, presence of God is manifest. And lives are transformed. Lives are healed. And we will carry the presence of God to a hurting, broken world. That's my interpretation of all the movements that God is doing. And some of them call themselves, there's the David's tent, I don't know whether you've heard of. It's the idea that literally it is coming back to this idea of bringing God's presence through worship and prayer. And this is what we're called to do. Lynn Green, as she explains what she believes God's doing, she felt God gave her the verse when God said, I will do new things. And the thing that hit her is the I. Now that may seem obvious. But what she meant by that is God will do new things. Not we'll have new programs or new skills or new techniques or new anything, but God will just turn up and do something. Sounds pretty cool to me. Sounds something I want to be part of. I want to carry that with me. How can I be part of it? Well, as I engage in worship and prayer. As I pray through the night, as many of these movements do, as I worship through the night, as I join 24/7 in prayer, there's no technique, whether it's a room, whether it's a tent, that's insignificant. What is going on is the people are hearing God's call to worship and pray, to be carriers of the presence of God, and they find when they do that, things happen. God works and moves. Just reminded, I was telling, I'll end soon because I want to give time to worship. We had the Alpha away day yesterday and I was telling them the story of Jackie Pullinger. And this illustrates the point a little bit, I think. I just feel I need to share it. Jackie Bullinger gave up everything to be a missionary in Hong Kong, and it went badly. It did not go well. Everything that went wrong did go wrong. She had no fruit, it was hard work, and she was about to get on the next ship home when she met with some Christians. And she says, do you know what it is to be filled with the Spirit and to speak in other languages? She says, no. She said, well, can we pray for you? So they prayed for her. She didn't feel anything, but they said, well, try speaking in another language you don't know. She did that, so she started speaking in other languages that she didn't know, inspired by the Spirit. She didn't feel anything. And they said, go and do that 20 minutes each day and see what God does. And that's what she did. She prayed in her new gift of prayer, the gift of language. She just prayed 20 minutes every day. Didn't feel anything, didn't change how she felt, and she just carried on as usual. What she discovered is in being present in 20 minutes of prayer, in the presence of God by the Spirit, she didn't feel anything, but she began to notice when she told people about Jesus, instead of ignoring her, they became Christians. She found that when she prayed for people, instead of nothing happening, people got healed and set free from their drug addiction. She found an unusual protection, that actually the gang leaders were actually protecting her so that no one could harm her. Amazing story. But this is the principle. If we come back to the heart of being priests, heart of interceding with God, the heart of worship, then we carry the presence of God with us. Because ultimately we are, as priests, to carry the presence of God by standing, ministering to God. What does it mean to minister to God? It means offering our worship and prayer. It means offering our whole bodies as a living sacrifice. It's surrendering everything to the calling of God. It's hard, isn't it? Surrendering our work, our family, our ambitions, surrendering everything. But that's the call of a priest. To stand and minister to God. And as we do that, we are then called to bless those around us. To bless. And that's what we're beginning to see as people understand their calling, as they live it out, they bless those around them. Things happen. The atmosphere changes. Friends and neighbours are healed and blessed and encouraged. People come to faith. And there is blessing. Paul in Romans 15, he says his priestly duty is to be a blessing by sharing the gospel. That's part of what it is to be blessed. And we looked at that, I think, with Paul and Rhonda a couple of weeks ago, that we're called to share the good news of Jesus. That's what it is to be priest, to intercede, to minister, to bless others as we carry the presence of Christ, to share the good news and to see lives transformed. That's what I believe God is doing. If I'm wrong, it's scriptural, it's biblical, and we do it anyway. If you, like me, think God is doing something, then we need to jump off the cliff and say, let's go for it. Let's start worshipping like we've never worshipped before. At times we've never worshipped before. Let's pray like we've never prayed before. And if that just means, as Rachel said, well, I don't even know how to pray for a long time. Well, if that just means waiting, or just sit in the presence of God and wait until he tells you what to pray for or what to do. Being a priest is our calling, is our work. It's not a quick fix. It's not a do A, B and C and you'll see revival. It's about you're a priest. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's God's special possession, that you may declare his praises. Because I think that's what we're seeing. That as we worship, as we pray, God will do something new. And what are we to do? To say, thank you, God, for doing that. And then he'll do more. And we'll say, thank you, God, for doing that. And we'll rejoice at his blessing. I don't know whether you're like me, and I heard this first, I thought, oh, just another prayer movement, just our general secretary wanting us to pray more. Heard that, been there before. Maybe that's where you're at. But don't dismiss it. Pray about it, think about it, and join, if you want to, with me. And let's jump off some mountains and let's see where God takes us. We're called to be priests, so let's worship. Rachel, do you want to just bring us to a time of worship? We've got 20 minutes and we're just going to worship. And Rachel's prepared some stuff, but actually it's about us worshipping together. We're all priests. You're all here to enter God's presence with prayer and thanksgiving. You may want to use the stuff that's been prepared. You may want to feel God is saying something else. You may want to choose a song that you really feel we should sing. You may read a scripture out. You may speak in another language that you don't understand and we need to hear what God's saying. We're all priests. We're all part of this. It's not what I'm doing or what Rachel and the band are doing. This is us coming into the presence of God, waiting upon Him and seeing what He'll do.